Evening. I'm Mark and I'm an addict. Wow, doing a share into a microphone, that's really even more unnerving than I anticipated. Well, it's amazing to be sitting up here doing a share, you know, because I'm 13 months clean now, and it's taken me a long time of coming to these meetings and a lot of relapses and a lot of pain to get this program, to get a grasp of this program. And some kind of recovery, you know, some kind of quality of life. I haven't really planned what I'm going to say. I've got about 15 minutes, so I'll try and skip over my using for a change. I won't give you a drug log. I listened to this share CD earlier. My head's been really busy, and I just solely because I know I'll be coming here and sharing, and you know, my head's busy at the best of times. And so I stuck this share CD on before I come out. And I heard very little of it, but what I did hear, the first thing this fella said was, as a child, I felt different. And straight away, I just connected with that. I thought, yeah, fucking, I don't share much about that, you know, but I did as a kid. I wish it weren't so, but as a kid, I felt different. I felt an overwhelming feeling that somewhere else, something was going on that I was missing out on, and I just missed it, and I should be somewhere else, and that whole thing of not living in the moment, you know, my head was always somewhere else, and as a kid, that's what I was like. So, when I was 12 or 13, I discovered solvents, I discovered drinking, and pills, and shortly after amphetamines. I lived above a pub. It was I was given a lot of freedom as a kid, you know. I lived above a pub. I was basically left to sort of my own devices. My father was an alcoholic. You know, he was one of us. He was one of us who couldn't, who never got, you know, the opportunity to do this, to get over his disease, and it killed him. And I didn't understand that as a kid, you know, it was just confusing. He was violent. I could see it was related to his drinking. And I didn't understand. So when he kicked me out, I was 15 and I didn't go back. And about 8 or 9 years later, I was at his funeral. And I had no feelings that day. I'd scored enough heroin to get me through the funeral, because I couldn't face that, you know. I couldn't face anything. I couldn't face that funeral. I couldn't, you know, I could not face life without using by that stage. And I thought I was different, you know what I mean. And I thought, I picked up heroin to stop using alcohol, you know, and it was all confusing, I guess, you know what I mean. I sort of had no concept that I suffered from a disease of addiction, a disease of the mind and body. I was just clueless to it, you know what I mean. I used, and that was my coping mechanism. And I never envisaged any other way, you know. From the age of 15, before coming to the rooms of NA, I never got a day clean, you know. I never got one day clean using one substance or another. And I didn't know there was another way, you know. I tried all the things it talks about in our books. I tried, you know, moving, different job, different girlfriends, substitution. You know, I tried it all. And by the age of 30, I was broken enough to follow someone's suggestion that maybe I needed help. And there were people out there, and it was a fellowship called Narcotics Anonymous. And my mother got the phone number for me. She also got me the address of a local meeting, which happened to be in the church I was christened in. So my first meeting, I remember my first meeting really clear, despite the amount of special brew and codeine I'd needed to get through that door. But immediately, you know, I connected with this, you know, at the level of I knew there were people like me, you know, there were people like me who weren't fucking doing drugs, who'd done the things I'd done, who'd lied, manipulated, stolen, who'd lived to use and used to live. Other people who'd sold themselves in order to maintain their habits, who'd robbed their families, and who were clean, you know, and I connected with that straight off, but it took me a long, it's been a bumpy road, you know, my recovery. I'm trying to put this into a nutshell, you know, because I came and I did not, and I got clean, you know, I got clean through just coming to meetings. I did 90 and 90, I was on a script, and I eased myself off the script, and I did get a sponsor, and I started working the steps, and I tried to get involved, and that lasted about 6 months, and then the meetings tailed off, and the communication with my sponsor wasn't there, I wasn't picking up the phone, and I relapsed, and that was kind of the pattern for me for the following 5 years. You know, I'd hit a place where I was desperate enough to come back in here, broken, and surrender to the program. I'd have a go at it, and so I'd have a go at it. I'd turn up. It took me a long time to get honest in these rooms, to say what was going on, to say how I was feeling, because I didn't know, you know what I mean? It was very confusing for me. Really helped me going to treatment this time, just to learn a bit about myself and a bit about my triggers, because real basic things like I isolate, the way that my disease manifests itself in my life, I was kind of clueless to, you know, and when... talks about in our readings or in the literature in the NA book about reaching a place where you're backed into a corner and you have no alternative to use, and I believe that's what happens to me when I don't come here regularly, when I don't connect, when I don't pick up the phone, talk to other addicts, and I'm left to my own devices. That's I reach that painful place, and I've kind of had bits of sobriety when I've been going to meetings, not working a program, which have been really, really painful, more painful than using, where I've got to that point where the only thing that's going to get me out of bed is picking up again. So that went on for about 5 years, coming in, getting clean for a bit, 6 or 7 months, meetings tail off, and I'd pick up again, you know, I'd isolate and I'd pick up, and the second I pick up, my head will tell me, you know what, you're not an addict, it's alright to use again, and that whole physical reaction of just needing more kicks off. So my last relapse was about 9 months, and it took a treatment centre to get me back in, but I kind of knew that when I came back, what I had to do was really connect with this program. So I come back, I got clean, you know, Tower Hamlets paid for me to go out to Clouds, it was great, they fed me, that was amazing, you know. I was so scared of going to treatment, I was so scared of having someone control the amount of substances, I was just scared. I was just so fearful and destroyed as well, you know, physically and mentally, and that got me back in. It was a 12-step program, and it got me back here, and it got me back to London. It gave me a bit of a breather from, it just gave me that opportunity to get back here and be able to come back to a meeting and say, right, I'm back, I need a sponsor, I need to work this I need a program, you know. I hadn't, that's what I needed. I hear that talked about, you know, a program, and I'd heard it talked about, and I'd heard suggestions. Thanks, Dave. And I say I'd heard them, I hadn't heard them, you know what I mean? I didn't understand what these things were. And for me, I needed it really laid out simply, and So I started going to meetings and sharing, I need a sponsor because I need someone who can take me through these steps because it's got to fucking work, you know, it's got to work for me because I know nothing else is going to work for me. And I had a sponsor recommended by someone, and I went and asked this person, and they agreed, and straight off the bat they said, look, read this in the literature, and continue to read 4 pages a day of the literature. And then the fella gave me a list of about 6 suggestions, which is working for me, you know what I mean? Like I said, I'm 13 months clean now. My life is radically fucking different. I go to college, I do bits of work, and most of the time I feel pretty good, you know. Sitting here, I feel really self-conscious and really very nervous. But those suggestions he gave me was, you know, get up, pray on your knees. There's a couple of prayers I say that are my own. There's a couple of prayers I take from the book, and I do that. I do that every morning. I also write a gratitude list. When I come back in this time, I had no idea what that was or what gratitude was, and I do this daily now as well. And I can maybe reel off 70 or 80 things that I know if I pick up will go. My gratitude will go. You know, there won't be food in the cupboard. I won't wash myself. I won't have my family around me. And I'll be sick. You know, I won't have a God in my life. The other suggestions... was to get involved in a home group, to start doing service, and to start working the steps with them. And I'll try and condense this into about 2 minutes. I won't go into details on the steps, but I think what really helped was the daily contact. That was another suggestion, by the way, phone every day. And when he said that to me, phone me every day, I thought this is completely fucking impossible to pick up the phone every day and talk honestly to someone who knows me, who's getting to know me and will know when I'm bullshitting them, and to be honest, on a daily basis. But that really, really got me through my first 6 months. You know, it got me through getting my physical strength back and, you know, getting my mind to some kind of balanced level. And, you know, I'm getting through that chaos of early recovery, you know, dealing with the chaos I created with, you know, the warrants, the, you know, my health, you know, my horrific toothache, you know, all that, you know, it was someone that was there, horrific too, thank fuck, you know. Well, I mentioned that, yeah, but I come so close to relapsing on that, you know. I was like phoning the helpline at 3 in the morning, like, these Nurofens ain't fucking working, you know. I'm in pain, and I'm not good at dealing with pain. And I got through it, you know. I didn't pick up, and I work the steps on a daily basis, you know. I take inventory. I answer a list of questions that I've got off the internet, and I try and do it most days, and it's real basic stuff, you know. If I was resentful, how was I resentful? You know, was I fearful? Was I dishonest? And I go through that stuff, and, you know, and if I was, I sort of put it into a step 4, you know, and I work through it, you know, why was I fearful? Why was I resentful? And, you know, what is my part in this? And, you know, I'm doing that regularly, it's working for me. And, you know, I'm at the beginning of making my amends. I made amends at the weekend to one of my sisters and my mother. I had a fucking migraine before doing it. And if I could have avoided it, I would have done. But, you know, the opportunity arose. And that's the way I've been, it's been passed on to me to make these amends, you know, as they arise, when the time is right. And it's going to be a long process for me. And Dave's moving that bit of paper, but it's lovely to, have what this program has to offer, which is just for today. I never have to use again, and that's fucking miraculous. I'll leave it there. Thank you for listening.